Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Amy Mark scores with you on a Friday, and yeah, I was talking about AI clones of you dating an AI clone of someone else, so maybe you can have the robots do the work for you. Well, a technology reporter for the New York Times did just that. Eli Tan, he jumped into the artificial intelligence dating scene, and he lived to talk about it, and he's going to talk about it with us. Eli, thanks for joining us again. I know we had you on a while back. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Excited to talk about it.
Yeah, I've got to say, it sounds so bizarre and so futuristic and so weird. Can you explain, I guess, your experience jumping into artificial intelligence dating?
Yeah, so it really started, I was at a tech conference. I live in San Francisco, and I was at a tech conference, and there's a dating app founder who kind of brought up this idea of cloning yourself and then having all these clones date each other and then kind of relay the results back to the human, and they can see, you know, how the clone relationships were going. And I was like, oh, well, that sounds crazy. So I was like, I'll try this out myself. So I did it. I hopped on a bunch of different apps, and some of them were two clones talking to each other. Some were me talking to another clone, or another human being talking to my clone. And then I also used AI clone dating coaches that would kind of like coach me on how to talk to people and text people. So yeah, it was kind of a whole range of experiences.
Wow. So with the first, let's jump in with like the first AI app that you used. How did you create an AI version of yourself that would reflect how you would act and what you would say?
Yeah, so the brain of my clone was basically like a large language model. So think like ChatGPT, where I would basically, you know, talk with this clone kind of in conversation, this large language model, and it would learn about me, and it would learn my interests, and it would learn kind of how I speak and how I text and my mannerisms. And then, you know, I'd give it a list of kind of the interests I have and the things about me, and then it would kind of go off into the clone world and talk to other clones and people that were doing the same thing.
Did you ever feel nervous that, okay, you had these conversations with this AI, I think you called it an Eli GPT, like taking your name, Eli GPT.
Yeah.
You have a conversation, Eli GPT picks up on your mannerisms and how you might respond. When you sent it out to go date, were you afraid that Eli GPT would say something stupid or embarrassing that would drive off another potential mate?
Yeah, well, immediately it did. I mean, I set it out there, and it was like telling all these terrible jokes, and it had these weird catchphrases, and, you know, I had to kind of pull it off to the side a few times, you know, after it would have these conversations and kind of like retrain it and help it and tell it what it was doing wrong and kind of fix it for the next conversation. So, yeah, it was kind of an ongoing process the entire time.
And again, you can read Eli Tan's work in the New York Times. I highly recommend that you do, because you included some of your conversation with your clone with another clone, Rachel. And a quick clip so people know what we're talking about here. Your clone said, if you could only eat one snack for the rest of your life, what would it be? Rachel, the clone, said, mozzarella sticks. Eli's clone replied, crunchy cheese bliss. What is it about mozzarella sticks that make your heart skip a beat? That feels a little over the top.
Yeah, it does. It's not, you know, the type of thing I would say, but that's what my clone was going with, so that's the best I had.
Did you do multiple apps? Where, like another app that I know you did the first app, the second app was Volar. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, an app called Volar, and then there was an app called Ice. And then I used another app called Amore, which was more of those coaches.
So would the clones break up with each other if they figured they weren't compatible?
No, they wouldn't. So the clones, they basically simulate like, you know, like a 10 or 15 minute first date conversation. And then it would like give you the opportunity to kind of like as a human being go in and just like take over for where the clones left off. But in the beginning, I was kind of hoping, I was like, oh, it'd be interesting if it like the AI like simulated, you know, some kind of future for these clones together and like what it would look like or where they'd live or something like that. But it was really just kind of that first conversation.
Sure. Once you made your clone, how did your clone find another clone to talk to?
So unlike kind of a normal dating app where you have to kind of swipe and match, mm-hmm. all the clones on these apps just kind of talk to each other. Like, so my clone would go on, you know, tens or dozens or hundreds of dates every week. And it would kind of just talk to as many other clones as it could.
Oh, man. And you said you talked to AI coaches. What was that like?
Yeah, so there was this other app called Amori, and I could upload like actual text conversations I was having with other human beings, and then I'd upload it to this app, and then the coach could kind of analyze it and give me like advice on what I should do. And there were, you know, the coaches, they had different personalities. So there was like Ethan, the wingman, who was like the bro best friend. Then there was Christy, the blunt bestie, who was kind of sassy and frank. Or Tabitha, who's kind of this aunt figure. So I could kind of swap between the different personalities, and I would use the same conversation and kind of see what they all thought about it.
So after using AI clone dating, even though it's very early in this type of experiment, and the coaching, do you think there's a real future for these services?
You know, I'm not sure. I think, you know, AI can be good for, you know, doing like a lot of tasks and making them simpler for things that you don't necessarily want to do yourself. But, you know, it's at the cost oftentimes of like the thing the AI is doing is not going to be actually as good as when you do it yourself. So maybe for like, you know, writing work emails, that makes a lot of sense. But for something mm-hmm. like dating, you know, it can be pretty high stakes, right?
Right.
These apps are like ways that people actually meet their partners. So, you know, when you're looking at these conversations, you really hope that everything is kind of as good as it can be, and you don't really want to, you know, sacrifice it just so that you can, you know, do more of them or whatever. So I'm not sure. I think if it could improve, and it could be something that's happening behind the scenes for dating apps to kind of figure out maybe who's most compatible using something like this. But in its current form now, I don't think we're all going to be doing the clones anytime soon.
Well, Eli, I think... correct me here, but are you working on a story right now about pastors using AI to write their sermons?
Yes. So I published a story this morning about it, actually. Pastors and rabbis who are kind of experimenting with using AI in their work and kind of a lot of the ethical questions that have come up with that, too.
Right. What? How widespread is this, and what are some of the ethical concerns that you pinpointed?
It's pretty widespread. I mean, you look at, there's not a ton of good data, but of the surveys, you know, of thousands of pastors and rabbis, something like, you know, half have tried using AI in their work, and then something like 15% kind of use it in some form every week. And the things that everyone's really comfortable with are, you know, using it for things like research or, you know, writing like marketing flyers or newsletters or something. And then the things that people are least comfortable with are writing sermons. And I talked to basically quite a few pastors who experimented like with a one-time only sermon entirely written by AI. And it's kind of eerie, right? Because, you know, it's not necessarily like, oh, the AI isn't good at this. It's like, oh, it's kind of weird because the AI actually sometimes is good at it. And it is good at writing a sermon that is maybe a little bit profound. And so the question is like, you know, if the AI is writing the sermon that is like meaningful to people, you know, is it okay that it's not coming from, you know, the human heart and the human spirit?
Oh, man. Yeah, that feels so sacrilegious, but I look forward to reading the story and what you found out. I highly recommend everyone listening read your work in the New York Times. Eli Tan, technology reporter for the New York Times. Thank you so much. I hope we have you on again soon. It's always interesting and shocking.
Yeah, thanks. It's always great to be on.
Thanks so much. That is Eli Tan for the New York Times. Follow him at Eli Tan Journo on Twitter /X. Hey, we've got our no prize football pick'em next. St. Louis Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore is in the house. He's our celebrity picker. We've also got Dean, who is an all-star picker for the listener side of things. That's next on KMOX.